The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Ian Guider, what are the main points you're taking out of the summer economic statement from the Department of Finance and Department of Public Expenditure today?
Evening, Matt. Well, I think overall it is quite positive. If you're looking at the overall Irish economy, which includes the multinational sector as well, so obviously they're doing much better than the domestic economy, you're looking at overall the Irish economy growing by almost 9% this year. Despite having double-digit unemployment right now, the government are talking about tax revenues being up about 1.6 billion as well. So overall, come Budget Day on October 12th, Minister Donoghue and Minister McGrath will have around 1.5 billion euro for what they call new measures in the budget to announce. So that's either extra spending or for measures on tax changes. You're also talking about the fact that we would have about 2.8 billion euro to put aside for potentially paying out the COVID supports for much longer, so the pandemic unemployment payment, the wage subsidy scheme, and all the other cash supports for business if they are needed over the winter months. So we are looking at a very positive picture heading into 2022, despite the COVID situation. The government also talking about that they will be putting together a long-term plan for making sure that we bring down the level of borrowing we have, but not bringing that into place for the next couple of years, because they do realise we have to build a whole lot of houses and we also have a lot of capital expenditure on the National Development Plan. So while we have borrowed a lot of money over the last couple of years, it will take some time before we have to pay it back, because if you withdraw all the measures that we have put in place in the last number of years too quickly, you could wreck the economic recovery. So while there is pain coming down the line that we will have to bring the budget into balance, it will be probably from 2024 onwards. So for the next year, the government continuing to support the economy and the recovery.
And then what about the continued insistence by Pascal Donoghue that we're not surrendering our 12.5% corporation tax rate, despite reports, Daniel McConnell in the Irish Examiner last night, suggesting that a cabinet, certainly Fianna Fáil ministers, seem to believe that the fight is over?
Yeah, I'm kind of reluctant to quote Hamlet at 6 o'clock in the evening, but there is, I don't quite know where there is a method in this madness of continuing to stand by our corporation tax rate when 130 out of 139 economies in the OECD have voted to change it and go up to a minimum of 15%. And let's be honest, Matt, you wouldn't want to be standing next to some of the countries we are in a photograph that are supporting maintaining the status quo. If the Irish government are hoping that the US House of Congress will have to vote on this plan to raise this global minimum to 15%, we're relying pretty much on the fringes of the Republican Party not to want to support these tax changes. It's not a good look. The US editor of the Financial Times today was tweeting that the Irish economy doesn't look great doing this type of thing. And yes, the government probably wants to stand by stability of the Irish tax system, yada, yada, yada. We're going to have to change when you have the biggest economies of the world telling you we are changing how corporations are taxed, taxing them more and where they are paying it. We're going to have to move. We don't have the clout, Matt. And as I said, it just looks bad from the point of view of Ireland's reputation abroad. We're always mentioned in the New York Times as a tax haven. Here's a chance to change that reputation for 2.5% more. I think most companies, if they thought their corporation tax bill was going from 12.5% to 15, rather than 12.5% to say 20 or 25, they'd settle for it.
Now, very interesting numbers out of RTE. It seems that the pandemic was good news for RTE's finances.
Yeah, quite staggering. The 2020 annual report for RTE out today, they made a surplus of 7.9 million euro in 2020. That compares with a loss in 2019 of 7.2 million. Even though RTE's revenues actually fell, their revenues were down by around 11 million to 331 million. The big difference was a big drop in cost. Their cost base, their operating cost base, fell by 28.5 million. They didn't have to spend a whole lot of money because the Olympics and the European Championships were delayed by a year.
Also, hold on. It wouldn't have cost them 28 million quid to put on the Olympics in Euro 2020.
No, it wouldn't. But they say that, look, there's a cost here of putting on special events. But also, RTE have been cutting staff costs in the last number of years. There have been a voluntary redundancy scheme that will take out a number of staff. I think the issue, Matt, and Orti make the allude to this today, yes, they were able to survive 2020. But what happens in 2021, 2022 and onwards? Because advertising has been squeezed and will be squeezed by the streaming services because people are switching off linear TV and using catch-up services. They're also pointing out that as a public service broadcaster, they need to be able to provide content for future generations, and they need a more secure funding for the future, i.e. they need certainty that either the license fee goes up or that the ability to collect it or collect money from people who don't have a TV license, perhaps you're collecting money in a broadcasting charge. That's what RTE will be looking for the next couple of years, to bring certainty to their funding base. You can't rely on the fact that they were able to bring down costs to keep funding RTE into the future.
One final one. Stephen mentioned at the 5 of 5, the announcement today by Bord na Mona of a creation of about 1,400 new jobs as it reinvents itself as a renewable energy company. How convincing are these plans?
Actually, Matt, I have to say, I heard John Gibbons talking about it as well, Bord na Mona. They have moved from being somebody who are extracting peat briquettes from bogs around the country. They have moved in the last number of years to become renewable energy, recycling, and also, rehabilitating the peatlands around the country. So they say they have created more than 550 jobs and will be on track to create a further 880 over the next 3 years in the Midlands, and also with decent pay and conditions. I think what they've done, Matt, is copped on to the fact that there are wind farms that need to be built. They have the land. They have land to do recycling and various other things. And I think they have actually been a success story. Yes, it has not been without pain for workers and some of the workers over the last couple of years. But given the business they were involved in a couple of years ago to where they are now, I think it has been a success story, one of the few success stories that we have talked about out of the semi-state sector.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider of the Business Post, for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.